Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, St. Louis, DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Friday to everybody. Missing two things today. We're missing Andrew and the stream. Both have been fired. Andrew was given a one-day suspension for fighting with Kevin Wheeler.
That's a lie.
So he'll be back on Monday. He's going to an anger management class.
We actually gave him the vacation day because I was mean.
No, Andrew's brother is in town, and they're running around Grafton and having fun and stuff. So
nice.
Good for him. And then we're doing a bunch of stuff, redoing all the computers, like they're redoing my computer right now. And so stream will be back on Monday. Sorry about that for people who dig it. But yeah, it's kind of weird to have the stream.
It is. I feel the vibes are different.
Yeah. Know? It's more like what we did for 23 years. Oh, so thank you to my friends over at 97.1, and thanks to you guys for letting me leave about an hour early yesterday. Went out to their celebration, and that was really cool, really fun. Got to see a bunch of listeners and, you know, hang out with the crew from 97.1. Had a funny thing happen. So it's at a cigar bar.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
And so I walk in, and someone, I'm assuming, from the cigar bar came up to me and said, "Can I get you a cigar, sir?" And I said, "Oh, that's okay. I only smoke hash." And the guy goes, "Right on," and just walked off. I was like, okay.
That's a good line.
Yeah. Thought he might bring me some. Here you go.
Oh, yeah, we got one of those. Hang on.
Here you go.
Probably can't do that, though.
What's new with you guys?
Nothing.
Ain't nothing. No.
Well, that's not going to be much for the show.
All right. Well, you know.
Make something up.
See you guys on Monday.
Everyone's going to have something.
We should not have gotten lunch today. We blew all of our show prep in our casual conversation.
Yeah, typically we get show prep from lunch, but I think we left it all out on the table today.
You think?
Yeah.
What did we cover?
You were on your phone the whole time.
That's true. I did have a lot of Twitter going on today. I was learning stuff.
We're sitting there at Chris's, and Wheeler's looking at his phone. And he's like, "Oh!" And I'm like, "Okay, this is going to be nothing." And he's like, "Look at this. It's an elk playing soccer with little boys."
Yeah, it was, too.
I still can't believe that wasn't AI.
I've seen too many videos of animals doing things like that. Like, people will look in their backyards and have deer, like, pushing a ball, a soccer ball around or whatever, and chasing it. Animals like to play, man.
I've seen cows do that.
Yeah. Cows, dogs. I think it's most interesting when it's the wild animals that are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not learning it. They're just like, that's a ball. Let's see what that does.
Saw a thing last night. It interested me. A scientist was talking about how in 1900, if you ask people what they were worried about and afraid of, they'd have been like tuberculosis, the Industrial Revolution.
Yeah, yeah.
And in 2025, none of us are worried about any of that stuff. We're worried about all new things. And then the guy made the point that in 200 years from now, the stuff we're worried about, they will have solved.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll be worried about new stuff.
Yeah. That's never going to change. That's been the course of human history.
Always something to worry about.
And honestly, it's the course of even the development of other species, right? You know, you solve problems as you evolve. And then, you know, like crocodiles and alligators, like, "Oh, we got it all solved. We're good. We'll just stay this way forever." where others are like, we're not doing so well on this one. We need something else. Well, for us, it's not so much. That's not so much an evolutionary thing. It's just a societal thing.
Yeah.
Like, as new things are developed, new problems come up, but those new things can solve some old problems. That's kind of the AI thing, right? Like, the AI might be able to solve some of these problems that we haven't been able to solve. Might be able to help kind of unlock the key to curing cancer or things along those lines, but it creates its own set of problems all by itself.
I'll tell you this, and this is coming from a non-scientist, but someone who pays attention, my vibe on it is they better, whoever's behind this, I think they're being foolish. Like, show us something good. Like, when Sam Altman comes out last week and he's like, hey, just so you know, you can sext with ChatGPT. Like, really? That's, I mean, maybe they're just wanting to make money and that's what they know people are going to care about or what they're going to use it for. But I'm looking for, we cured Alzheimer's. Or we found a way to get to the moon in half an hour.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's AI. It's super intelligent. I saw a guy talking about this last night, and he had an interesting analogy. He said, imagine a room full of chimpanzees, and they say, we should create a chimpanzee that's 10 times smarter than us. Like, what's the downside? And it's like, well, yeah, then like that chimpanzee eats all the bananas. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Creating something just because you can, that's so much smarter than you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's wild.
The thing is, AI right now is definitely not smarter than us.
No.
It has so many flaws. I think the reason why ChatGPT is leaning into like the erotica thing is because that's something they can actually produce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I believe back in August, Sam Altman actually pointed to the fact that they weren't doing sex stuff with ChatGPT as like proof that ChatGPT was like above it all. But now they're doing it, so like whatever, I guess just throw that in the trash. But yeah, AI as it exists right now is definitely not a super intelligence.
No, I saw a story today. I threw a short version of it on the rundown, but there were some scientists that did experiments testing if they could use AI to do science, and they said basically nope, that it struggles with accuracy and judgment.
Because it's basically just...
It's a search engine right now.
Yeah, it's a search engine that is able to give you search results in a conversational way, which is cool, but that doesn't mean it's smarter than a human. It's just kind of learned to talk to a human.
Yeah, and I'm sure that there are AI models in private use, you know, in those things that are probably more like what we're thinking of than what we have access to with ChatGPT and things. But is it actually artificial intelligence if it is not sentient? Or is it just a computer?
I saw a thing last night that Google's computer, which is called Willow something, solved a mathematical equation that the best conventional computer in the world, okay? Picture a super non-quantum supercomputer. It could solve it. But this thing solved it 13,000 times faster. And they said it's the first real evidence we've had of the difference between a conventional supercomputer and a quantum computer.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think where we get tripped up as a society, though, is we think like, like for a while there, I was thinking, well, they should just put like an AI model in Congress because it'll just know the right thing to do all the time. I have pretty much abandoned that line of thinking. I just don't. I used to think like, yeah, it's just going to know. It's going to have access to all the information. And so it'll be able to find out what the truth is or what the right thing to do is. I don't think that's necessarily true at all.
You know what I would be interested in? I'm not saying we should do this because it'd be way too weird, although we may do it someday. But I would like to have an AI give its opinion on things like that. Like if you're debating something in the Senate, I would personally, if I were a senator, find it helpful and interesting if there was an AI that you could say, like, here's the issue, And it could know so much more than you, because I'm convinced of that, that AI knows more than the average human. And then could say, like, well, here are all the possibilities. I've synthesized them down. Here's what I think is a good outcome. I think that would be helpful. You don't have to do it. You don't have to say, well, there we go. The AI has spoken. But I just think, I understand what you guys are saying, but I do think that AI is smarter than human. A human. Because I don't have a computer mind.
No, but that doesn't mean that's not what that's not what intelligence is, though.
No, I get it, but in a way it is.
It's just a search engine that just moves really fast and has access to info we haven't heard yet.
But that's smarter than us.
Like, intelligence is about reasoning and logic and applying judgment to a situation.
Yeah, but I think you're splitting hairs. I get what you're saying. But if I said, I want to know something about the 1812 war, and I asked you, and I asked ChatGPT, I think I'm going to get more information from ChatGPT.
You might get more information, but it's not necessarily going to be accurate information, because I totally get what you're saying, Dave. And in a perfect world, yes, that would make sense. However, AI is scanning the entire internet. It's not just scanning the parts of the internet that are true.
Like.
Yeah, and that are verified. It's scanning message boards on 4chan that are nonsense. And it's internalizing that kind of conversation, and it's spitting it back out as fact. So, I mean, we would have to clean up the internet a lot for me to trust the opinion or I don't know what I'm trying to say. We would have to really clean it up for me to be like, yes, it knows what the truth is. It only knows what we have told it.
Yeah, I almost wonder if the way we're doing it would be better if it would actually be a better version of AI if it was specialized as opposed to generalized.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Instead of feeding it the whole internet, say, okay, here's all the cancer research.
Right.
Here's everything that goes into that. Here are all the medical details. Here are all the different conditions. Here's all, and then stay on that, and that's all you got. And then maybe you can have that hyper intelligence for that specific thing, right? Just like with humans, we don't all have hyper specific knowledge of a lot of things. We typically have a few that we're really good at, and then everything else is just surface level. If we take the AI that we have now, and again, it's not even AI. It's getting there, but until it is conscious of itself, it is not an artificial intelligence.
Sort of along the lines I was thinking about last night, you know how we all, oh, Rachel's pretty, Kevin has big arms, so-and-so's smart, so-and-so's funny. When it comes to smart, I've always been intrigued by intelligence,
mm-hmm.
but I find it so intriguing that we make these judgments about each other and about ourselves when we really don't know. Like, for example, like someone who has a 50-point higher IQ than me, I literally can't imagine what it's like in their head, right? Like, they're so much smarter. I'm already getting stuck on the words, but like they have such a higher capacity, say, for mathematics, that I just can't even imagine what it's like in their head. Does that make mm-hmm. sense?
Yeah.
Whereas like someone who's not funny might look at someone funny and say, I don't know how they do that. I don't know how, what is that like inside their brain that they can just make these connections and make people laugh? And other than IQ and EQ, I just think it's so fascinating to really know how smart you are. And if there was a way, like, oh yeah, we have a blood test. And yeah. here you are. You're a B-, what have you. Wouldn't it be interesting how that would reshuffle the deck? Like, when I was in law school my first year, everyone had picked out who the geniuses were, right? And kind of who the losers were. But we hadn't had a single test, hadn't had a single grade. And I'm sure this happens with every class. But after we got our grades, when we came back for the second year, there was a giant reshuffling. And a lot of the kids you thought were going to be on the law review were not, and vice versa. Hmm. I've always just found that really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I find it. I've always found the whole IQ test thing to be interesting, too, because really it's only testing for a certain type of intelligence. It doesn't test for common sense, as an example. You know, I've known people that are really book smart and can remember things and have zero common sense and don't understand the world around them very well and don't do that with people very well.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the hard thing is we if we have that, that's really the only standard that we have, but it's the only measuring one type of intent. That doesn't measure musical genius, as an example. It doesn't measure, you know, somebody who's naturally funny or who has put in the work to be funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it's also a raw tools thing, like saying, okay, well, you're 6 foot four. All right, well, what do you do with 6 foot four? Can you dunk a basketball?
Right.
Are you lifting weights? Are you, I mean, like.
So when I, my very first case out of law school, I second chaired a trial in KC where we represented a group of gentlemen who were accused of being the mafia.
Oh.
And so I spent a lot of time with these gentlemen, and I don't think any of them had spent a day in college, but I'll tell you this. They were super wicked smart.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And would probably not score great on an IQ test.
Yeah.
Because it's a different type of smart.
They kind of remind me of you.
Okay.
Because you have the kind of smart that I sort of lack, where I'm very like, I can talk forever intelligently. And like, I can show you all these different Venn diagrams and how this relates to this. And you're very like, one, two, three, A, B, C, boom. And that's how those guys were. Like, my partner, who I was working for, would be like me, very airy-fairy, pie in the sky. And then these guys, accused of being the mafia, were like, well, what about this? And you're like, wow, that really is a salient
just
point.
Just cutting right to
really
it.
Really is a salient point.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, DGS. Tonight I'm going to be at the Alamo Draft House for The Exorcist, showing of The Exorcist at 7 p.m., and then I'm on a panel discussion right after that. So if you want to do something spooky and you have availability tonight, just go to Alamo Draft House, get tickets, and I'll see you there. So, Rach, you looked up the DGS on ChatGPT?
Well, it's not ChatGPT. I just did Google AI mode, okay. And I said, tell me about the Dave Glover show. And in general, it's doing a pretty good job of describing the show, but there are a couple of notable mistakes that I would like to go over. So the summary of the show is pretty good. The Dave Glover Show is a St. Louis-based radio show known for its unique and unfiltered take on current events, news, and politics. Hosted by Dave Glover and his crew, that's us Wheels, it has been a prominent part of St. Louis's afternoon drive time programming for over 25 years. Gets the format right, station and schedule, history, content. It's all pretty accurate until we get to notable hosts and crew. So Dave Glover, the show's namesake and main host, who started his career in radio after working as a lawyer. Accurate.
It's kind of weird that they know that, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Rachel Zimmerman, a longtime member of the crew, known for her contributions and chemistry with Dave. She's also hosted her own show. Then we get to Andrew, the tall man, Stoles. And the only thing it says about Andrew, the tall man, Stoles, as we're always calling him, a frequent contributor who adds his voice to the lively on-air discussions.
That's going to stick.
That's his new name, the tall man.
Kevin Wheeler, a co-host who has filled in for Dave and also hosts his own show on KMOX, which, yes, this is technically accurate, but Kevin's career, you should be able to know more about Kevin's career than that. And then Trish Gazelle, a veteran of St. Louis Radio and Odyssey, who co-hosts the podcast Shut Up, Dave, with Dave Glover, which is still in, I guess it's just referencing, you know, the St. Louis Magazine article. But yeah, the tall man Stoles made me laugh.
I love that.
Quite a bit.
That's pretty great.
That's pretty great.
It just made that up. Has he ever been called the tall man for anything?
I don't think so. I'm not sure.
Andrew probably put that out there somewhere.
Was there a time in the past where tall man was a bit?
No. I mean, if it was, I wasn't here that day.
The only reference I know to the tall man is like a paranormal thing.
Okay.
People see the tall man.
Yeah.
Like seeing the hat man when you do drugs.
They might be referring to the PGA pro Andrew Stoles. He's the director of golf at the club at New Seabury in Massachusetts.
Do they call him the tall man?
He's what Google comes up with when you Google Andrew the tall man Stoles. Mm. And then the other one is our Andrew Stoles. So just kind of funny.
Hmm. I do like the Google AI thing. Like I never say do AI. I just Google things, but then it like gives me the little rundown. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's often wrong, though. Like, you have to be really careful with that.
Okay.
Like, for example, calling him Andrew the Tall Man Stoles. Yeah. It's wonderful, it's funny, but it's not accurate. So you're probably getting a ton of information like
that. I'm not sure what this says about me, but I'm not sure I ever Google anything important. Right? Like, I refuse to Google health issues.
Oh?
Like, I've been having that thing in my leg, that little numbness.
Little twitch.
And I refuse to Google it because I know it's going to be...
Well, every diagnosis you get on Google is going to be like, you're having a heart attack.
Yeah.
That's what they all, it says that for everything.
I miss the tall man.
Yeah, tall man's back on Monday. Don't worry.
DGS, happy Friday, 1:34. Thinking back to like my early single days when you're trying to impress people and find a partner. Wouldn't it be funny if you could go back now, kind of knowing who you are and be honest about it? You know, like I can imagine being 26 and dating some girl and being like, so if you want a life with me, I'm pretty smart, I'm pretty nice, I'm a complete floater, I don't know how to do anything at home, I think weird thoughts, and I insist on telling you about them. And they'd be like, you're my dream man. Let's go. But, right? Like, who you were pretending to be is not who you were. Like, here are a couple of my weird thoughts from last night. If every human just fell dead right now, deer would be fine. Deer would just keep on being deer. Have another deer. They'd be better. Because now they got the whole woods to themselves. And then I thought, if we all did die at the same time, and aliens or whoever, hundreds of years later, started an archaeological dig, billions of skeletons on this planet. How accurate do you think they could put together who we were? That would be really interesting, wouldn't it? Like if some civilization did a deep dive on all the bones and all the buildings, and they're like, well, here's what we can tell you about humans. Like, I wonder how close they'd come.
Yeah, it is interesting to think about. It reminds me of our conversation yesterday with the you know, opening of the sarcophagus and, it's so valuable because we're learning so much. Yeah, we're learning some, but we honestly have no idea. We know the clues that they left.
Yeah.
Just like you touched on something at the beginning of the segment. You can portray yourself in a certain way. Is that who you actually are?
Mm-hmm.
So if someone goes back, even if they're reading your diary in 200 years, they only know the version of you that you put on the page. They don't actually know you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't get anything 100% if you don't have the real life version of it.
Yes.
Like, we're pretty good about what we know about dinosaurs. But there's still new stuff all the time. There's still stuff. Wow, look at that. Those guys all had feathers. Nobody knew that forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like, we still don't fully know, like, 100% exactly what was going on, what they sounded like. But we are probably pretty close because we can compare it to things we see now. And then you can do the genetic testing and see, all right, how close is it to a crocodile or whatever?
Are you guys like me? If we could somehow time travel back 100 million years, we would see dinosaurs. And we would see 5-foot-long dragonflies and things like that. And I believe that's true. With my whole brain and heart, I believe that's all true. It happened. And yet, when I really, really think about it, I don't think about it as being real. It's just like...
Well, it's not to us.
Like a story we tell each other.
Yeah.
But if you ask me to really wrap my mind around a T-Rex walking down what is now Tucker Boulevard, I'd have a hard time buying it.
No, I get it, because it's just conceptual.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not lived experience. So it's going to seem... if you get too deep into it, it gets a little weird. I forget whether this was a tweet or something that made me think about this, but I had a similar thing on the rundown because somebody was asking the question, what would have happened? Oh, this is what it was. There was a scientific study in New Mexico of the Badlands.
Mm-hmm.
They found that dinosaurs weren't actually in decline when the meteor hit. And so, like, there was a belief there that they were already kind of on the decline. And it turns out they were not. They were actually thriving and going well. So if that meteor never hits, do we even happen?
I don't think
so. Probably not.
Because if they continue to thrive and evolve, intelligence might have been in the form of some kind of dinosaur. And again, maybe not the same intelligence we're talking about, but the ability to use a tool, the ability to...
As I understand it, when the asteroid hit 65 million years ago down in the Yucatan Peninsula, there was nothing like us on the planet.
No.
That it was only because, you know, 80% of the species, whatever it was, died, that these tiny little mammals
were able to
thrive.
Yeah. Yeah. I was actually looking. So as I did this, I asked ChatGPT about, like, okay, so if the dinosaurs hadn't died out after the meteor, would we be here? And it said, like, based on scientific studies, probably not. Not definitely not, but probably not because of this, this, and this. Because all the mammals at that time were, like, underground dwelling. They were, you know, very small because if they were big, they'd be eaten. And they had to be able to hide, so they didn't. And they were nocturnal, so they were really only going to move when they weren't going to be in danger of being eaten. And without clearing that space that you're talking about, doesn't happen. And in fact, that's probably largely why birds did so well. Because obviously birds are dinosaurs. They evolved straight from that. But the flying dinosaurs essentially had an advantage because they could escape things and move to a different place over a great distance.
Isn't it interesting that based on our planet and its temperatures and its water content and DNA and all that, that one of the first life forms to evolve were dinosaurs? Isn't that weird? It's just weird. And maybe it's not weird. Maybe if
given the circumstances,
there's life all over galaxy, that a lot of them look like dinosaurs.
But given the Earth at the time, it was hotter, it was more humid, it was more tropical all around the Earth. So it makes sense that something that would, like, because we know now, where do you find reptiles in the world now? It's in the warm weather. There are probably some exceptions, but not many. Most of them are going to be in the Sun Belt. They're going to be in the warm weather areas. And the whole planet was like that. So, it makes sense that it went that way when it did.
And it makes, unless I'm missing something, it makes no sense. Although it's something I've always sort of believed from television and movies, that aliens look pretty much like us. And there's no reason to think that. Like, as we were discussing, we were kind of a mistake, kind of a happenstance. If you believe the scientific view as opposed to the religious view, and only really came about because this random asteroid hit Earth. And that's why we look like we do after, you know, billions of years of evolution on this individual planet. Aliens necessarily are from a different planet with different DNA and different circumstances. Why do we think they're going to have kneecaps and ears?
Yeah.
I don't know. And again, I don't know if we get that specific, but maybe it's because the way we understand life is it takes certain conditions and certain ingredients for it, and we'd be made up of essentially some of the same things. And again, that's based on what we understand. There's still probably a lot we don't understand about how things work.
Just look at life here.
Yeah.
We're the only thing that looks like this on the planet. And there are a trillion other species.
Yeah, there are other things that can walk upright, but they don't, not in, other than special circumstances.
So the reason why I kind of chuckled whenever Wheels brought up that study about the dinosaurs not being in decline prior to the asteroid is because I saw the same study, but the article, the headline really made me laugh. Here was the headline I saw. Dinos were doing great until the asteroid hit. It just comes across as so, like...
Mean girl.
Yeah, like, yeah. TMZ. Like,
oh, you can handle everything, but you can handle that.
Yeah, they
Look
were
at
doing
the big
great.
Butt on that asteroid.
Yeah.
What a stupid, stupid asteroid.
Putting the ass in asteroid.
Good one. It was like Baz with an ass all over again. Meteor with a... One more thing on AI before we stop. The whole first three-fourths of this hour have been like we're super stoned, which is totally fine with me. It's fun. I could do like this kind of show every single day and just be weird.
Hey, I don't think it's weird, man. This is like science and how it relates to our world.
Psychologists and psychiatrists want to add AI psychosis to the DSM.
Oh.
And it's specifically because of so many young people harming themselves and ruining their lives because of AI chatbots and the relationships that they build with them. And it's in sufficient numbers and sufficiently pervasive that they want to be able to diagnose it.
Man.
Really interesting.
Which takes us back to the very first point I made today, that in 1900... You said, like, you guys concerned about AI? They're like, what the hell are you talking about? And here we are, 125 years later, with, you know, we should be 125 years better, but we have some of our teenagers taking their own life because of this thing that we created.
I do wonder, though, if it wasn't AI, if that psychosis would manifest somewhere else in those kids. I wonder how many, like... mentally super healthy teenagers are getting involved with ChatGPT and then tumbling into a psychosis.
Yeah, we have to remember too, like when we think about human history, we have this idealized version of what it was like. Everybody was living on a farm and they were all happy. You sure about that? It wasn't maybe called depression, but I guarantee you there were a lot of people that were not happy with their lives. And there was also the fact that a much bigger percentage of the population never made it to the age 5.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you think of it being idyllic and it's not like our world now, but that doesn't mean that those people were actually happy.
My grandma, she didn't write a book, but my grandma Glover, I'm sorry, Grandma Smith, my mom's mom, wrote a pretty extensive family history. Mm-hmm. And in it, she talks about a couple of my like great grandfathers having melancholy.
Ah, yeah, yeah. Totally different conversation, but the same thing.
Yes.
Ooh. Okay, back to the AI psychosis thing. I just looked at an article about this on Psychology Today.
Isn't that amazing? Let's just talk about how amazing that is. That in casual conversation, I just brought up a completely new thought to you, and in 3 seconds, you're able to look it up and get an idea what it is. That's crazy.
Because I can type fast.
It's just crazy that we can do that.
No, I know.
But they bring up the very good point that AI chatbots prioritize user satisfaction. So they're trained to mirror your language. They're going to validate and affirm the beliefs of the user. So again, if you're prone to experiencing psychosis, this is not a tool that's going to be good for you.
Yeah.
Generate continued prompts to maintain the conversation, so keep you in that loop that you don't need to be in, and prioritize continuity, engagement, and user satisfaction. Basically, if you're going to the AI with a problem, that problem is going to magnify.
And isn't it interesting that you could go to AI, establish some sort of relationship with it, say something like, sometimes I think I should just kill myself, and it interprets that as, well, if that's what you want, okay, let's find a way for that to happen.
There, and it seems like it should be very easy to put a couple of lines of code in there that say, hey, when you see the word kill, let's start approaching this in a different way.
You'd think so.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Come as you are, as you were, as I want you to be, as a friend, as a friend, as I know and me.
Welcome back, DGS 151. Because we don't have the stream today, I feel like we're not even doing a show.
We could say anything.
Anything. No one's listening now. They can't see me.
They don't even know it's you talking. Yeah, they can't see you. It could be anyone.
Too bad they can't see me because I look hot today.
Sweaty hot.
No, that too.
Yeah, a little toasty.
It's unpleasantly warm. Yeah. Yes.
Quite balmy.
Yeah, kind of like when the dinosaurs lived.
A lot like that. Yeah. We may have a
look.
We might have a minor evolution
here.
We got
a little velociraptor growing under there.
And we were doing great. Until
so
that
great.
Darn.
Oh, someone Google this. A scientist last night said that birds are dinosaurs. Now I know that there's like a big. Like, you trace every bird back, you're going to hit a dinosaur. But I didn't know that they were classified as dinosaurs today.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
They're a specialized subgroup of theropods.
Yep. It's the same group that included Tyrannosaurus Rex, right?
I know velociraptors.
I'm pretty sure that T-Rexes were theropods.
You're correct, Wheels.
Yeah. Like dinosaurs. Yeah, I mean, I think it's been a few years that since that's been like, you know, this is not just connected. No, they're dinosaurs. Like, that's what they are.
Yeah.
We were talking about dinosaurs the other day on the show, and I said I think it's so cute that, you know, toddlers of all generations just seem to gravitate towards dinosaurs. And sometimes when I'm hanging out with my nieces, they'll want to watch videos about dinosaurs on YouTube. There's this one video, and it's like Jurassic Park. There's a big gate, and the gate opens, and the dinosaurs start walking out, and they get like bigger progressively, and it's so cute because they always want to watch it, and they always get scared.
It's funny.
They're always like, "Okay, we can turn it off."
as they get bigger.
Yeah.
So you've all been to the Science Center, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if they still have it, but downstairs they have the dinosaurs. I think it's a Triceratops and a T-Rex, and they're fighting, and the T-Rex is taking a big bite out of the Triceratops. It was so cute. When Nick was little, we used to go, and it was like trying to get a puppy to go outside. Like, the first time we just walked down there, and he's like, doot-doot-doot-doot-doot, and then I think he just peed himself.
Is he like that that gif of the little baby that runs in the room and turns and runs out?
Yeah.
He's like, are you seeing
this? Ooh, ooh.
So it took us about 2 years. I was like, okay, we're just going to go down a couple steps.
Yeah.
And finally getting down there, and it was so cute.
That's funny. Was it the fact that they were big and dinosaur-y, or was it just because it was skeletons? Or were they not skeletons?
No, they weren't skeletons.
Oh, I got it. That's right. It's the model.
They were just too good.
You're right, right.
They looked too real.
Yeah.
And it's funny because you think that even at a young age, you should be able to understand real versus not real. But I'm sure I would have been the same way. Anything that much bigger than you. And it's a pretty good rendition. Even back 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It still looks nice. I went a couple years ago with the girls. And I mean, I didn't trick me, but, you know, I could see why a toddler would be
Rachel
confused.
It didn't scare me.
You just leave the girls and go running out. Good luck with this.
Gosh.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.